Reconvening our meeting. Good evening, everyone. Look at our classroom is all tight together. Why are we sitting way back in the corner over there? Are we being shy today? Well, let's go ahead and move to item C, our Pledge of Allegiance to our flag. And we have a voluntold today. Our wonderful, beautiful principal from Arroyo, Barbara Grootsmacher.
I accept.
Thank you so much.
Okay, everybody, please stand.
No microphone necessary.
I have a teacher voice, but I'll use the mic. Place your right hand over your heart. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You may be seated.
Full instructions from standing to sitting down. I love it. I am multilingual today. I had a case in Farsi, in sign language, English, almost in Spanish, and now I had to pronounce Grootsmacher. My German. Wow, it's so good to see everybody. It's been a minute, yes? Well, welcome everyone. All right, adoption of our agenda, seeking a motion.
I move.
I need a second? We have that, multiple seconds. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any noes? Anyone abstaining? So carried. Moving on to E, recognitions and presentations. E1, what did I win, James?
A whole school district.
Oh, awesome. All right. E1 is International Baccalaureate World Schools Program in Ontario Montclair School District as presented by Robert Francis Gallagher, Assistant Superintendent of Learning and Teaching.
Francis, every time.
Every time from now on.
Thank you, Madam President, Board of Trustees, Dr. Hammond, Cabinet, and friends in the audience. You know, OMSD is such a wonderful place for students. You know, we're lucky we have a board and a superintendent that provide unique opportunities for our students during the day or after school. Tonight, we are highlighting one of those wonderful programs, our International Baccalaureate. We've got three schools who really embody the philosophy of IB. You know, they do everything they can for their students to, you know, ensure their success. And they really help our students learn that they're important members of a global society. But before we begin, before I pass it over, in your board packet, you will notice that we are authorizing Arroyo today. It's their initial authorization for their MYP program. And we are just so proud of everything that they've done, the hard work that they put in, the dedication to their students. And next month, we'll be attending one of the board members to actually do the presentation in person at their staff meeting, so all their staff's there, and we can really honor them in person. So with that, I'd like to introduce Christy Bennett, one of your regional directors, a wonderful regional director, and she will introduce the three principals who will be presenting tonight.
Good evening, everyone. And now I know that middle initial, what it stands for. So, good evening to our board president, Rivas, all of our trustees, Dr. Hammond and Cabinet. We are excited to be with you this evening to share updates about our IB programs in our district. And Dr. Hammond first envisioned offering IB education for our students back in 2010. And the board was highly involved and supportive and even attended our first LA category conference with our educators. I've been fortunate to be part of the authorizations at both Bonview and Arroyo and now able to support our IB schools in my current role. And here to present are our three fabulous IB principals, and I also want to give a shout out to our dedicated IB educators in the center of the room. It fills me with pride to reflect upon what has been accomplished in growing our IB programs over the past 15 years. The IB comes to evaluate each program every 3 to 5 years, and each time they have commented on being so impressed with the leadership and support provided by you, the governing board. They don't always see that, and they always notice and comment on that. They've also noted many additional commendations for each site, and a few of which are highlighted on this slide. Most recently, as Mr. Gallagher mentioned, Arroyo School received authorization to offer the middle years program, which transitioned from Wiltse Middle School to Arroyo. And now I'll turn it over to Mrs. Aristizabal.
The International Baccalaureate Philosophy is important because it offers a rigorous, globally recognized education that fosters critical thinking, creativity, and intercultural understanding. It emphasizes holistic learning, preparing students not only for academic success, but also for their global citizenship. The IB philosophy also encourages inquiry-based learning, develops strong research and communication skills, and promotes a well-rounded approach to personal and academic growth, giving our students an edge in higher education and in future careers. As IB schools, we are committed to shaping a successful future for our students. We provide them with the skills to excel in an ever-evolving world, inspiring innovative thinking, and preparing them for careers that are yet to be imagined. Together, we empower the leaders and visionaries of tomorrow.
Who are we? We are International Baccalaureate IB World Schools, and we are driven by a powerful mission. We are driven to develop inquiring, knowledgeable, and caring young people who are committed to creating a better and more peaceful world through intercultural understanding and respect. Through this holistic approach, IB World Schools empower students to become compassionate leaders and global citizens ready to make a difference. The IB program offers students a multitude of benefits, from fostering critical thinking and curiosity to preparing them for success in the world. IB schools provide students with a pathway to take charge of their learning by encouraging them to ask meaningful questions, investigate topics deeply, and discover the answers to unique problems. IB units of inquiry connect students to real-world contexts, showing students the relevance and importance of what they are learning. Units align with the state and district standards and ensure that students receive a comprehensive education across all content areas. Additionally, world languages and the arts play a central role in fostering creativity and cultural awareness.
International Baccalaureate schools, their structures are designed for continuous growth, collaboration, and excellence. At the heart of our schools is the pedagogical leadership team, which guides and supports the implementation of the IB frameworks. IB schools prioritize ongoing professional development, empowering educators to refine their skills and stay updated on the best practices. A key component of this approach is our professional learning communities, PLCs, where teachers collaborate through planning and reflective dialogue to enhance student learning and experiences. Furthermore, IB schools integrate policies that include language development, assessment practices, academic honesty, and equity. These policies support a holistic educational experience, fostering integrity, inclusion, and fairness to all students. The International Baccalaureate Program inspires action and fosters a collaborative learning environment beyond the classroom. IB emphasizes the active participation of all stakeholders, including students, educators, families, and of course the wider community. IB encourages parent engagement by inviting families to play an active role in the educational experiences. The connections are academic and real-world issues. The IB also promotes a learning environment beyond the school walls, with its collaboration and partnership with the California Association of World Schools, CAUSE, and IB visits to other schools. In every aspect, IB calls everyone into action, creating a culture of engagement, service, and collaboration that empowers students to become active contributors to a better world. Now we would like to invite you along on a video journey of our IB communities.
We are IB. The IB stands for International Baccalaureate, and the elementary programs are known as PYPs. Middle school programs are known as MYPs. The PYP stands for the primary years program, and the MYP is the middle years program. Both of those work to share global knowledge with our students.
Because of this, it creates a sense of agency and self-efficacy within students to where they want to take action in their own learning.
So we're looking at students that are not only learning curriculum, but they're also applying it to the outside world and their community around them. So it really benefits students, staff, and the community.
Being on Ivy World School has impacted me a lot. I feel as if when we started doing the community project, I was a little bit confused. I didn't really recognize what was going on outside of my school, outside of my world. But once we started researching, I figured out that I wanted to help out House of Ruth, which is a domestic violence shelter, and they were a lot less fortunate than I am, and they were asking for a couple things that I wouldn't have dreamed of a lot of people asking for because I thought it was essential things. Not everyone has that, and it made me realize that I am just so fortunate.
We also look at the connections between different concepts, like the idea of traditions and music, citizenship and music, patriotic music, cultural music, and how those all connect.
I think Bonview is probably the place that I'm comfortable to tell them about my traditions. They taught me that we had different traditions too, and it's important to celebrate different cultures, not just cultures we usually celebrate, unique cultures.
For me, what it means to be an IB parent is that my children are exposed to a more broad learning environment. They've been exposed to learning Spanish from the time they were in kinder. They are exposed to music. They're very inquisitive. When we're out in the world, they ask me a lot of questions about just what's going on in the world. They're more world-minded.
I feel like it's really provided me awareness to like what's happening in the world. And there's so much past, like just like in Ontario or where our school is. I feel like it gives just so much more light to other places and what other people have to do in other daily lives. There's so many other people out there except myself.
Me being a parent of an IB student, I've really seen an impact in their daily lives. One of the things that I love is that a lot of things that I enforce at home, I get major reinforcement here at school with them being critical thinkers, them being able to come up with ideals on their own and not just take the easy route. I think it allows them to really become better people in the community, better perspective on life. One of the things I do love here is, you know, the multi-international nights that we do. I think it just sheds light on so many different differences that we have as people, but how connected we are as human beings as well.
Beautiful presentation. I'll open it up to comments or questions from the Board of Trustees. I'll start with Trustee Martinez.
I love your presentation. Thank you so much for adding those fun pictures on the slides. And the video is also very, very, very informative. So thank you so much. The next step is just doing that field trip, huh? Like going out to like China or to make sure that they see it actual life. And you know, I'm sure that some of the teachers would sign up for that, right? So thank you so much for all your hard work.
Chris?
Beautiful video, thank you. It kind of brought chills to my heart because those kids are really into it. And it's a whole new way of thinking. And there's no way I could have been doing that in elementary school or middle school. So thank you to all of you for your efforts.
Thank you, Chris. Sonia?
Just want to congratulate you for doing an amazing job. I know I've gone out to Hawthorne on your IB presentations, and you know, those kids are amazing. They have compassion, they're very intelligent, they put together a PowerPoint, ask questions, resolve problems, and they're making an impact in the world. So thank you, and we appreciate everything you guys have done.
Thank you, Sonia. Sarah?
That's a wonderful video. Thank you all for being here.
visiting these schools and seeing them grow and everything, and all the way to from 2010, so 15 years of this, and so you have all of these kids and students now who remember and take your learning into high school and everything like that. That's wonderful. That's wonderful, and that you have families. The last parent that was there, his name is Arthur Ramirez, and he has three girls who go to his school site. And they, I was really surprised to see him. I'm going to go bother him after the meeting. But his three girls are so amazing, and they are just wonderful little human beings, and it's just amazing to see the growth and everything with our students. And we offer everything here at OMSD, from VAPA to dual language, and just the uniqueness of the educational style at your school sites is just wonderful. So thank you so much for your time. Please thank your other administrators, your classified employees, your teachers, your parents, and all of the people that you reach out to the community, because I saw in these pictures wonderful community members who have just come and been at your site. So just thank you so much for that.
Thank you, Sarah. Gosh, we've been here a long time.
Yeah.
Yes, we did. In 2010, Chris and I were on the board when James brought the idea forth. And we were excited, thrilled, curious about the idea. And, the way he equated it, put it in layman's terms, because we never heard of IB before. And he said it's like a mini college campus on an elementary school site. And we're like, wow, okay, that sounds unique, and so we were all for it, and we've had some trying times financially, and one thing that we really insisted on keeping was the IB program, because once you start it, you really cannot stop. You have to continue for it to be successful, and so that's something that this board and previous boards have insisted on continuing, is the IB program and the people behind it. I have seen teachers that have just, their educational careers were invigorated when it came to IB. It was like a whole new door opened, and what, I get to do this and learn this and do that and, have freedom to do this and that. And it was like, oh my gosh, everybody was excited, and they still are. And the differences that we've seen in our children, their learning styles, the curiosity, the fact that they know that their decisions and their actions do not only affect their inner circle, but their families, their community, and outside and worldwide. Like the House of Ruth, they're helping people that can get back on their feet and then go out and affect other people, that ripple effect. I mean, it means something, and they are internalizing that. It's an incredible story. And all of you have a personal touch on that. That is fantastic. So thank you for being a part of that. And congratulations. So, Dr. Hammond.
Very well stated. I mean, that's the whole part of, I think, one of the teachers that was in the video, the sense of agency that you seek to find for the students. So I really want to commend the staff, the teachers that are here. I see a couple of the vice principals. Also in attendance, it's great to have you as a representation of our three sites that do the MYP and the PYP. Getting a reauthorization is an arduous task, and it doesn't come easily. It comes through a very rigorous evaluation from outside folks that are very well experienced with IB. So for us to be reauthorized at multiple sites really is a testimony to you as dedicated teachers and the professional development and the passion and the ongoing work. So just like any of our other specialty programs, IB is unique. It is an international curriculum. It's headquartered in Geneva, so you could do a field trip to Switzerland. But I think they'd go to China too. I think they'd go anywhere. But really, I just want to thank the teachers, the classified staff, the administrators. Looking at our current principals, I know they. I think Eddie, you were the IB coordinator at Bonview, but before coming back as principal. But I know Ms. Arista Zabal, Ms. Grutzmacher, you know, they were assistant principals before taking their current positions. One at the middle school level, at, obviously Ms. Grutzmacher was at Arroyo, but Ms. Bennett, you authorized not one but two schools. And so the administrative commitment from the four of you has been tremendous, as well as your co-pilots now that are helping you at the site level. So thank you very much. The reauthorization is a big, big deal, and it is testimony to your commitment on so many levels. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well done.
Okay. No, they can go home and have a nice dinner. And
they don't want
to. I'll give you 30 seconds if you don't want to sit and hear the budget presentation.
We have an exciting audit for you guys.
It's going to be very exciting. IV's already been funded, so you guys can go.
You're taking Phil's audience away from him.
I know. We'll give him a minute, Phil. Have a good night, folks. Drive safely. Moving on to E2, the 2023-2024 annual financial audit reports and annual Measure K general obligation bonds audit report as presented by our very own Phil Hillman, our chief business official, wow, and representative from Ide Bailey LLC.
Well, thank you so much. As Mr. Braddock works his way up here, I'll introduce him in a moment, but good evening, Madam President, trustees, Dr. Hammond, cabinet, and guests in the audience. I first want to address a quick beef with Dr. Hammond. Thanks for putting me behind the IB presentation. Appreciate that very much. So now I have to follow that. So thank you for that.
Our board president sets the agenda, Mr. Hammond.
Oh, all right. So I'd like to introduce Scott Braddock. He's senior manager at Ide Bailey. He's been doing our audit for some time now. And so very experienced, knowledge of our district is high. Real quick background, as you know, we're required by the Department of Education to be audited by a third-party independent CPA firm every year. We give them our financial statements after we close the books. They take a look at it. It's generally about 2.5 to 3 weeks on site from start to finish. And I know there's a lot of behind-the-scenes work that they do as well. But they actually scrutinize our books and basically tell us whether we are materially correct or not. And so that's part of what Mr. Braddock's going to introduce to you tonight. In addition to that, our Measure K also has a requirement that we have an annual audit, and that is combined as well on not only the presentation, but you have that report in front of you as well. By the way, the audit report for Measure K goes to our CBOC members, so our bond oversight committee, they also get a copy of the report, and we will be doing a presentation for them, not Mr. Braddock, but we'll be doing a presentation of that audit report for them at a future CBOC meeting. So just to set that stage for you, Mr. Braddock has put together a presentation, and I'd like to turn it over to him now.
Thank you. As Phil said, my name is Scott Braddock, and I'm a manager with Ide Bailey LLP, the district's external auditors. And I'll be presenting the 23-24 audited financial statements, as well as the audited financial statements for Measure K. The financial statements contain three sections that we issue audit opinions over: the financial statements themselves, the district's federal awards, and state awards. We also issue opinions in relation to Measure K for the financial statements and the performance audit component. And I'll be going over those in a bit more detail in a few more slides. Just some high-level background on what an audit is, what the purpose of an audit is. It's procedures that are designed to provide reasonable assurance that the financial statements are free from material misstatement. I should just note that an audit's not designed to provide absolute or total assurance. It only provides reasonable assurance. Of the different types of audit opinions that we can issue, an unmodified opinion is essentially a clean audit opinion. It's the highest level of assurance that we can provide. It basically just indicates that there was nothing identified that resulted in a modification or qualification of an opinion. So when you see the term unmodified in the next couple slides, that's referring to the type of opinion that was issued. The audit begins with a risk assessment over areas that could have an effect on financial reporting or on the district's compliance. So we'll evaluate those areas, we'll gain an understanding of internal control processes in relation to those areas by going out to the district a few times a year and inquiring with various departments to determine internal controls over any areas that could have an effect on financial reporting. We'll also perform tests of transactions using a sampling approach over those areas that could have an effect on financial reporting. This page is the summary of auditors' results. It's a bit hard to see, but there are three sections on this page: the financial statement section, federal awards, and state compliance section. And I'll go through what this page covers in the next couple of slides. So the financial statement section, we issued an unmodified opinion. We did not identify any material weaknesses or significant deficiencies in internal controls over areas that could have an effect on financial reporting. In relation to the district's federal awards, the district receives and expends funds through various federal programs each year, and we're required to audit certain federal programs each year. The programs that we audited for 23-24 were various COVID-19 programs that are collectively referred to as the Education Stabilization Fund. One thing I just want to point out is federal compliance, it's complicated. There's a lot of compliance requirements for these programs, and some of them are fairly complex. So I just want to point out that the district didn't have any issues with the federal programs that we audited. We issued an unmodified opinion in relation to the district's federal awards that we audited, and no material weaknesses or significant deficiencies were identified. The last section that was shown on the summary of auditors' results page is related to the district's state awards. Similar to federal awards, the district must comply with various state compliance requirements each year. We issued an unmodified opinion in relation to the district's compliance with the applicable state programs. We did identify two significant deficiencies, which are less severe than material weaknesses. No material weaknesses were identified. One was related to, it was just a clerical error in relation to attendance reporting. And then the other one was related to facility status that didn't agree between a facility inspection tool and the related school accountability report card. Again, neither of these had penalties. They're just compliance that we had to report. The last bullet on this slide is related to the management letter, which only identified one observation in relation to the ASB that we audited. And it was just related to some untimely deposits that were made. For the district's Measure K, there's two components to this report. One is related to our opinion and audit of the financial statements themselves for the building fund. And then the other is related to our audit of expenditures incurred in the building fund to verify that they're compliant under the bond measure, and that's the performance audit component. So in relation to our audit of the financial statements, we issued an unmodified opinion. No material weaknesses were identified, no significant deficiencies were identified. And in relation to the performance audit, where we will sample expenditures incurred within the building fund, we'll review invoices, contracts, bid documentation to verify not only that internal controls exist in relation to the incurring of expenditures, but also that the expenditures are allowable under the bond measure. We tested 98% of expenditures incurred within the building fund, and through our testing of those expenditures, there were no instances of noncompliance. They were all found to be compliant. With that said, are there any questions on either the district report or the bond measure report?
Sarah, do you have any questions or comments on the report?
Scott, thank you so much for coming to our meeting, and we got a a lot of information from your audit, and we just appreciate it. How long have you been, has in Bailey, Phil, been doing our?
Well, they changed names. They were acquired, what, about 6-7 years
yeah.
ago?
Yeah.
Prior to that, I would say it's been about probably 40 years is my guess. And obviously there are pretty strict rules on they must change partners every 6 years to get a fresh perspective. And there are other different types of rules that require a different look from the same firm if you stay with the same firm. And so, I don't know, you could probably speak to that more, Scott, on some of the rules and regulations surrounding that.
Oh, no, my comment was just going to say thank you for sticking with us all this time.
Oh, yeah,
and that was
going to
well, but it wasn't, it's not Scott.
Well,
and I didn't realize it was 40 years.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate the firm very much as well. But I did,
great.
I think it's important to note that even though it is the same firm, it does have to have a different look occasionally because that's an important part of the independence.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Right. You rotate associates that look at the books, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Sonia?
No, thank you. Thank you for all the work and making sure everything is on track. And I agree with Phil, you know, same company, but just different eyes is very, very helpful.
Definitely.
And, good practice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Ms. Brake?
Thank you for the information. Thank you for coming.
And Ms. Flora?
Likewise, thank you so much for your thorough report. And I just want to add that you did mention the issues regarding reporting for attendance and school accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And I also was going to give you guys kudos because you are very proactive, and training's already in play for this to go ahead and be corrected or.
For sure. It had to do with the way you calculate a certain area of attendance, the non-public school, and it was done with a different denominator than it should have been. No financial impact at all to us. The SARC issues, there were two schools that didn't list the facilities tool data on it, two schools out of all of them. And so, as Mr. Braddock said, they must test compliance on those areas. Fortunately, they were pretty minor areas that have been fixed and will be going forward. So,
I appreciate your work. Thank you.
Of course.
The untimely deposits, did you say those were ASB deposits? Was that someone just sitting on their duff and didn't get the deposits in on time?
Yeah, they were related to Vernon. I believe it was Vernon. Let me just double check.
Well, as he's checking, I will say that is a pretty common ASB finding.
Yeah, and just someone who's got checks in their bag and they just didn't get to the bank on time.
Right.
Well, that can be. That's pretty informal. Oftentimes it is they are sitting in the safe at the school site and they just don't deposit it with the bank. So it is actually in the safe many times.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just have to encourage them, hey, you know, make sure you get those out of the safe. Clear them mm-hmm. out on Friday night and get them to the bank.
Right.
So, but that's a fairly common ASB finding
is
untimely deposits.
Right. Anybody who's run a volunteer organization or, you know, Little League or anything like that knows that those things happen for any number of reasons. Things happen. Kids get in trouble or something and that person can't get out to make that deposit. So, okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. James, did you have any?
No, just thank you for the report. And obviously, unmodified is the best we can hope for. And I think, at least for me, since 2010, it's always been unmodified. So thank you, Mr. Hillman, for the work that gets affirmed and verified by a third set of eyes. So thank you.
No audit adjustments.
It's really impressive. And thank you for making it out tonight and giving us the information. We appreciate you. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you. Have a good night.
Have a good night.
Thanks, Mr. Braddock.
Thank you, Phil. Thank your team.
It's really very phenomenal. Much so. Thank you for that, yes.
Very phenomenal. Okay, moving on to E3 is the 2025-2026 Governor's State Budget Proposal. You know what, we're going to keep you for another one since you're following that IB program. So why don't you go ahead and take that Governor's State Budget Proposal presentation.
All right, very quickly, quick presentation, just to give you an update. So on January 10th, so not too long ago, what is that, 13 days ago, Governor Newsom did announce officially his proposal for the state budget next year. You know, as you'll see in the coming slides, keep this in mind. It is simply a proposal. I know I've said that year after year, and you're probably well aware of that, but it is just a proposal. And so over the next 5 to 6 months, those proposals will be kicked around by the legislature. Governor will evaluate economic data, and he will then have a final budget by June in collaboration with the legislature. So you can kind of see the timeline there. We will in May, I'll come back to you in May and give you a quick update on the May revise, which is another economic update, and refining of those proposals by Governor Newsom. So this is what I just spoke to. You can see January 10th goes to the middle of May, and that's when the May revise comes out. The final budget will be that basically the last week of June is usually when we see the governor sign that budget. So right now, we use these assumptions, the governor's budget, for the financial information we present to you. So at second interim, we will present in accordance with the governor's budget. We will change those assumptions change later in the May revise and the final budget. But I'll show you what I'm talking about in a moment. But first, we do need to talk about some economics. Mm-hmm. So a couple of highlights. The boom and bust in California is pretty funny. You know, taxes, as we know, are volatile in California. Last year at this time, they projected a revenue shortfall between $38 and $68 billion. This year, revenue surplus of $16 billion. And you have to take that with a grain of salt because it is over a three-year period because the economic timing, the data, you know, the timing of it comes out periodically. So it is kind of a three-year look when we talk about big numbers like this, but it does give you an idea of the hills and valleys in California finance. Governor, when he did announce that $16.5 billion, he did say, hey, caution. And this was before the fires, okay? So that could have an impact on California, the economic situation. L.A. County, what did I hear? They are the largest economic county in the United States. And so when you've got an incident that big, you know, there may be an impact to the California finances and taxes. So we'll see how that plays out. Governor did announce it before the fires. So one interesting fact about, and this is part of the reason why our tax base is so volatile, is, so think of this. It's that second to last bullet there. 1% of our highest income earners in California generate almost 40% of the personal income tax. So pretty substantial. So when we have those folks who, let's say, move out of state, it can impact us directly on how much is available for K-12. It's a very interesting phenomenon here in California. So more to the local impact of what the governor announced. He announced a proposed COLA of 2.43%. Now remember, the COLA is a statutory number based on a series of calculations. So even he is guessing here. This isn't, I want this to happen, I'm going to make it happen. This is his guess on what will happen when the actual numbers come in. The estimated impact for us is about $372 per kid. You know, that's a nice round number for us. Having said that, remember, we're in a declining enrollment, so our revenues are not projected to increase much, if at all, next year because of declining enrollment. In addition to that, a bunch of other programs will be getting that COLA, special ed, preschool, child nutrition. The biggest one out of those is really the special ed program, and we anticipate $22 per pupil there. And that is not based on just special ed pupils. It is actually $22 for every single kid in the district. It's just that money then goes to special ed. So as you can see, this is the COLA projections for 25-26, and there is a new player in the crystal ball there, as you can see. But what this does is it goes through the sequence. So back in July of 22, so almost 3 years ago, the estimated COLA for next year was 3.72. Then it was 3.29 a year later, 2.93 as early as the summer. Now it's down to 2.43 in the governor's budget. And that's pretty in line with the LAO estimate. So the legislative analyst is close. But it shows you that we do sometimes kind of look into a crystal ball when we're trying to project our multi-year projections. May revise and state adopted budget. We'll see what happens when that happens, when that comes out later, and we will incorporate those into our assumptions. A couple of other highlights. You know, we all know about the universal TK, and in 2025-26, we will be fully implemented. So four-year-olds will be eligible to start transition kindergarten, all four-year-olds. And so in recognition of that and of the smaller class ratios, there is a large allotment to help us with those smaller ratios. So meaning we have to go to 10 to 1 in the TK class, students to adults. And so to do that, we will likely need to hire some aides to help supplement that. They recognize that, and they're giving us some money for that as well. The Expanded Learning Opportunity Program, our robust after-school program that just won a Golden Bell, by the way, the funding will be continued next year, which is always good news because this is a signature program of the governor. But we're very relieved because we get $35 million to run our program, which is nothing to sneeze at, and we do run a robust program. Universal Meals, again, continued funding next year, which is good news. He did announce and propose a couple of one-time funding items. This first one, student support and professional development discretionary block grant. I always focus on discretionary because that gives the board an opportunity to weigh in on how this money can be spent. It's not restricted. And so there are some strings attached, but basically said you can use it on rising costs if you want. So anyway, that's a potential one-time additional money for the Learning Recovery Block Grant, a little bit there. A couple other small programs, a literacy reading specialist program, and an additional teacher recruitment retention program. Again, proposals, especially those one-time. Those are proposals. Those are not in ink, so we will not be budgeting for those as of yet. As I mentioned, we'll get more information. We will come back to you on March 13th with the second interim report. The only thing right now that we'll be incorporating from the governor's proposal is that 2.43% COLA. That's the only thing. We won't be incorporating anything else because of the, you know, the nature of how the legislature debates it. The last thing is, I just thought I'd share this. I thought it was kind of funny. It's two kids, you know, wrestling over a device. And the mom says, "I'll never vote against a school budget again." I thought that was pretty funny. And with that, I'm happy to field any questions about the governor's budget, his proposal, or any other financial questions you might have.
Chris noted that she still had her wine and her wine glass in her hand.
Yeah.
Decisions. Okay, we'll start with Chris. You have any questions or comments, Chris?
No. I'm ashamed to say it, but I flunked econ in Cal Poly, and I finally passed with a D minus. So, but your presentations I can actually understand, and that says a lot to me, Phil. So, thank you and your crew.
That's good. My mom actually got her degree in economics,
oh,
so
God.
If I didn't do a good job, she'd be down here watching.
Well, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris. Flora?
Well, thank you so much for this information, Philip. Like always, you do a great job. I got to say, I'm really excited to see the 10-to-1 ratio. So that was the highlight for me. But yes, thank you so much.
All right, Sonia.
Yes, good presentation, Phil.
Thank you.
It's not my strongest feel, but you know. I am concerned about the natural disaster with the fires. And, you know, there's two more fires that popped up over the last 24, 48 hours.
So in the real estate world, we haven't been able to close a couple of deals because they require a reinspection. So I know that's probably gonna affect the economy and the ways, you know, depending on how much money we get from the federal government.
For sure.
For this. But with that said, I am confident that you guys are doing a great job with the budget and allocating where it needs to be allocated. The leadership at the district is awesome. We're working on grants and looking for money elsewhere to help with the programs that we have. Our programs are so vital for our students, and they're very happy with everything they're doing out there. I know reading is essential, and we have amazing TK preschool and kindergarten teachers that have our students reading every night with their parents, and it shows. It shows, even though we don't start testing till third grade, but you know, my little kindergartner is reading and reading signs and reading labels. And you know, I wrote a message to his teacher because he wanted a club at school at Euclid, and they didn't have it. So I said, okay, I'm gonna send her a message and see what clubs they have for new kinders. And he said, let me read the message before you send it. He read every single word. And I told him, okay, I'm going to send it, and you follow up when you get to school. Okay, I'll ask him again. So it is, we are seeing our students, you know, mature and think for themselves and ask and advocate for themselves as well. So thank you.
He'll be reading escrow documents before you know it.
Right. Sarah.
No, my fellow trustees said it all, and then I love seeing a new person in the crystal ball because we have to share the love there.
Yes.
And just thank you for the visuals and for continuing just to put that in motion and continuing to reiterate that May revise and then we get the budget. So thank you so much, Phil.
You're welcome.
To you and your team.
Yeah, no, fantastic presentation, Phil. And, you know, all 4-year-olds in TK, that's awesome. I loved being in school when I was 4 years old. I soaked up everything like a little sponge. You know, I went in speaking nothing but Spanish and came out, you know, reading in English and, you know, wanting to do everything like all at once. I mean, I think it's a fantastic age. You're just so curious about everything. You know, my dad was just like, okay, cállate ya, cállate ya, you know, just be quiet. Okay, enough, you know, but yeah. Awesome. I love what we're doing. I absolutely love what the school district is doing. So thank you for the report. Thank Vanessa, your whole team. And she looks awesome in the crystal ball. Not that you didn't, but really cute picture. Dr. Hammond.
I think it's been well stated already, but probably just one highlight, Mr. Hillman, from the governor's January budget is the one-time forecast. And I think that's something to watch because as close as the COLA is in his forecast, it is still below the LAO, what they forecasted prior. And so that's a good question, Trustee Alvarado, about the fires. I don't know how that will impact, you know, state budgets. Usually that's more of an insurance issue when it comes to the revenue. Your main revenue streams really are your sales tax, income tax, and then obviously the property tax. But, yeah. You know, the insurance is I think, a key factor with the fires. But we'll see how the receipts are. What's the current revenue as far as projection?
It's above. It's well above where the budget was adopted. And so we're optimistic, although, you know, just given everything that's gone on with the transition to the new president, what that might impact us, the fires, you know, there's a few things that are out there that are, you know, could impact that. But right now, revenues are running ahead of schedule, which is great.
We still have a Department of Education at the federal level.
They did announce that there's going to be an extension on taxes.
You know, that's an excellent point. I forgot to bring that up. Yeah, anyone affected by the fires, basically the IRS and the Franchise Tax Board allowed them to go to October 15th. Now, if you remember, last year they did that as well, and it made it extremely difficult for them to accurately project taxes. And it came back to bite them because they adopted the budget in advance of knowing what the taxes were and really got in a bind. So I'm glad you brought that up. I think that's an excellent point. Now, obviously, it's affecting maybe a smaller cohort of folks, taxpayers, but that's an excellent point.
All right. Thank you so much. All right, moving on to Section F, public comments by attendees. This is inclusive of OMTA, CSEA, parent groups, individual staff, students, families, business partners, public agencies, nonprofit groups, and other members of the public. Do we have any yellow slips, Ms. Irma?
None at this time, Madam President.
Thank you so much. Okay, moving on to our consent calendar. Seeking a motion?
Yeah,
I need a second.
I second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any noes? Anyone abstaining? So carried. Want to notate that C3's adoption of Resolution 2024-25-78 recognizing February 2nd through the 8th School Counseling Week. And we also adopted our resolution recognizing a Royal Elementary School for receiving authorization as International Baccalaureate World School Middle Years Program School. So congratulations on both. Section H, Discussion Action Public Hearing. H1, Tentative Agreement between Ontario Montclair School District and the California School Employees Association, CSEA, and its Chapter 108, amending Master Agreement for Ongoing Increase to Article, is that 17? Health and Welfare Benefits at the conclusion of the 2024-2025 negotiation. Seeking approval?
I move.
I need a second?
A second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any noes? Anyone abstaining? So carried. Okay, H2, tentative agreement between the Ontario Montclair School District, OMSD, Ontario Montclair Teachers Association, OMTA, and the Ontario Montclair Professional Therapists Association, OMTA, amending the Master Agreement for Ongoing Increase to Fringe Benefits article at the conclusion of the 2024-2025 negotiation. Seeking a motion.
I move.
Need a second?
I second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any noes? Anyone abstaining? So carried. Moving on to H3, Management and Confidential Employees Ongoing Increase to Benefits in alignment with the Ontario Montclair Teachers Association, Ontario Montclair Professionals Therapists Association, and the California School Employees Association, and it's Chapter 108, seeking a motion.
I move.
I need a second.
I second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any noes? Anyone abstaining? So carried. H4, tentative agreement between the Ontario Montclair School District and Ontario Montclair Teachers Association, amending the master agreement at the conclusion of the 2024-2025 negotiations, including one-time off-schedule stipend. Seeking a motion.
I move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any noes? Anyone abstaining? So carried. Under Human Resources, H5, Management and Confidential Employees, one-time off-schedule stipend, identical in alignment with the Ontario Montclair Teachers Association. Seeking a motion.
I move.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any noes? Anyone abstaining? So carried. From the Superintendent's Office, H6, Adoption Resolution 2024-25-79, recognition of Joseph Estrada, Soledad Franco, and Christina Lopez Perdue as the 2025 Ontario Montclair School District Models of Excellence. Seeking a motion.
I move.
Is there a second?
I second.
Lots of seconds. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any noes? Anyone abstaining? Okay. So moved. So carried. I'm sorry, I got like a high blood pressure and a migraine coming on right now. I'm just like all discombobulated right now. I can get through this. Mm-hmm. Call out of closed session actions. Dr. Hector Macias.
No call out, Madam President, from closed session.
Thank you, sir.
My pleasure.
Section J, comments and recommendations by Board of Trustees, starting with Ms. Sarah Galvez.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for everybody that's here. I just have one announcement. So at the library on February 13th, they're having their fine forgiveness day that can be received through going physically into the library or by calling the number 909-395-2004 and giving them your phone, your library card number. And then everything else tonight was just wonderful, everybody. So this was a great meeting to start off our 24-25 school year, but the 2025 year. This is great. So thank you so much and have a good night.
Thank you, Ms. Sarah. Ms. Sonia?
Thank you for all of you guys
coming to the meeting. It's been a busy back to school month or 3 weeks. I did attend the last workshop for Collins for the parent workshops, and they were very appreciative of us authorizing those, and our parents loved the classes. So thank you, girls, for supporting the workshops. I also went to the meeting for dual language at Euclid. In attendance was Central and Montera. And it was well attended, and our parents are super happy. We had some testimonial there from students speaking Mandarin, speaking Spanish, fourth graders, fifth graders, sixth graders, and seventh graders, and then parents. They appreciate the program, and it was just amazing to see our students get up and give a speech of how learning a second, third language has really impacted their lives. And one of the families said that they don't understand what their child is saying in Mandarin, but they're speaking. They don't speak it, but their kids are. So thank you. I know my kids are in dual language as well at Euclid, so and it's just amazing how, it is true. At the beginning, they struggle, but you see the improvements, and you see them flourish at the end. So thank you for supporting that program as well. And we started our Love and Logic workshops at Sultana as well, which I attended. And it's a full class. So it's amazing to be out there in the community. I thank everybody for everything that they're doing, our principals, our administrators, our teachers, and our support staff for supporting our families and students. And you just see it out in the community, how everybody's happy with everything that's going on and just resolving one problem at a time, but we get it done. Thank you.
Thank you, Sonia. Chris?
I have no comments tonight, thank you.
Thank you, Flora?
Likewise.
I think you girls are trying to get me out of here faster. I appreciate that. I'm going to keep mine short also. Great start to a new year. As always, we want to thank Ontario PD and our campus safety for always keeping us safe. Thank you, gentlemen, our ladies and gentlemen on those teams. Great presentations tonight by IB and our financial departments. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. And I can't think really straight, so Dr. Hammond, you're up.
Just Happy New Year, everybody. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Dr. Hughes-Hunter, this Saturday we do have a parent leadership summit. So looking forward to that. And thank you to the folks who participated today. And thank you to our amazing board for a great meeting.
Wow, that was short. Okay, section L. Chris says I'll get sick more often. L1, 2023-2024 Annual Financial Audit Report information is available. L2, the 2023-24 Annual Measure K General Obligation Bond Audit Report is available. L3, future agenda items, request for board consideration must be submitted in writing and meet criteria as indicated in Board Bylaw 9322. L4, our next regular board meeting will be February 6, 2025 at 6 p.m. open session right here at Central Language Academy. Section M, adjournment, seeking a motion. There a second?
Second.
Everyone here at the dais and in the room, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Have a good night and be safe. See you next time.